Once again, Joan, we've had a busy week at the Vatican. Let's start with Sunday.
It always is. It seems to be how we start every show, by saying the week just passed. But, you know, if you look back at the Sunday Angelus, it was really kind of a phenomenal. The Pope always prays the Angelus prayer, of course, at noon. Before the prayer and afterwards, he makes reflections on various topics. Sometimes it's the reading of that particular, the Sunday's Gospel. Other times it's other themes. And this Sunday, he touched on 7 or 8 different topics before and after praying the Angelus.
The pro-life?
And that was the first one. And he noted that Italy was celebrating the Day for Life on the theme Serving Life. So naturally, there were many, many people in the square representing Italian pro-life movements. And he exhorted everyone, I like the way he phrased this, he exhorted everyone listening to him, he said, to according to your possibilities, to feel within themselves the obligation to love and serve life from its beginning to its natural end. And of course, he said it's everyone's duty to welcome life as a gift, to be respected, protected, and promoted. And then he said even more so when it's fragile and in need of attention and care. And he defined this fragile as before birth or when it's in its life is in its final stages. And then what I particularly loved, because it touched a good portion of my life in the last 2 years and others in my family, the Holy Father encouraged those who, with exertion but joy, and without fuss but with great dedication, assist elderly or disabled relatives, as well as those who regularly consecrate part of their time to helping people of all ages whose lives may be burdened by many things, including, of course, different forms of poverty. So I'm sure there were a lot of people listening to those words, hopefully even as they hear us talking about it now, that feel comforted, also knowing the Holy Father's praying.
And he then looked forward to Lent, didn't he?
That was his next topic in the pre-Angelus reflections. And he turned to Lent, noting, of course, that it began this week, Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and said he hoped it would be a time of authentic conversion for all Christians who are called to be ever more authentic and courageous witnesses of their faith. And then, of course, when we arrive at Wednesday, we'll talk a little bit more about what he said, again, about Lent. Then the Holy Father did make a brief mention of the fact that, of course, the 11th of February is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It's the World Day of the Sick, which will be celebrated in Lourdes. And he said this
and
is
it's the also the
150th anniversary of the Shrine of the Apparitions of Bernadette. So, and the Holy Father noted that between February 2nd, Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, through the 11th, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, that faithful can have a plenary indulgence under the usual conditions, of course. And this indulgence may even be applied to the deceased if you, under the usual conditions, also pray before an image of Our Lady of Lourdes exposed to public veneration. So this is just before he recites the Angelus prayer. And then afterwards, he made a strong appeal. And of course, tens of thousands of people in this square. It's just an amazing presence. I think we should emphasize that to our listeners, the people who come to see Pope Benedict at the Angelus and then for almost the entire year at his weekly audiences, tens of thousands.
But he showed that he was thinking of all these troubles.
After the Angelus, exactly, he spoke about, he asked for prayers for peace in Kenya, for Iraq, and then he called for an end to kidnappings in Colombia. So he more or less highlighted the situations, and it really is just a huge, huge problem in Colombia. Basically, Monday and Tuesday were pretty quiet this week. The Holy Father's preparing for a number of events, including, of course, he kind of stays at home, if you will, on Tuesdays because to prepare for the Wednesday audience.
But he did, the Vatican did publish the schedule, didn't it, for the Lenten retreat?
On Tuesday, they did publish that. And on the first Sunday of Lent, has been customary for a long time now, the Holy Father and ranking members of the Roman Curia go on retreat. It'll be held in the Redemptoris Mater Chapel of the Apostolic Palace, and the theme of the retreat will be, Let Us Welcome Christ, Our High Priest. And the retreat master this year is Cardinal Albert Venhois, a Jesuit and former secretary of the Pontifical Biblical Commission. And the days are really quite structured. I mean, with Mass and readings and Vespers and obviously the preaching by the Papal Retreat Master. And I might tell our listeners that if they are interested, they can go to the Vatican's webpage. So that's vatican.va. And in the lower left-hand corner of the homepage, once you click on Like English, you'll see the words Basilicas and Papal Chapels. And if you click on that, you can take a virtual visit of this very, very beautiful chapel. And the wonderful thing about it, this was a favorite of John Paul's because it was actually given to him. The chapel was completely redone with 600 square meters. That's an incredible surface of mosaics on the walls and ceilings. And it was given as a gift to the late Holy Father for the 50th anniversary of his priesthood, which took place, of course, on November 1st, 1996. So it's a stunning, stunning place. I have been there, and it's definitely worth a virtual visit. Not too many people will go in person.
And just one thing I think we ought to remind our listeners, Joan, of course, about the spiritual retreat of the Pope is that, of course, his general audience on Wednesday the 13th will be cancelled, won't it?
Oh, in a perfect point, because all audiences are. So yes, and there's no heads of state, there's no bishops. He doesn't receive anybody for that entire period. And the most important thing is anybody thinking of you know, you're
coming
just
to
about
Rome, yes.
To board a plane to come to Rome, that particular Wednesday he will not have his audience. And that was an excellent point to make. Now, the audience this week, of course, was held on Ash Wednesday. So very obviously, the Holy Father's remarks at the audience were all about Lent. And his day on Ash Wednesday, the audience... Ash Wednesday always occurs on a Wednesday. The audiences are on Wednesday, so there's always that convergence at least one day a year.
And then, of course, Ash Wednesday, there's always this very characteristic event of the procession, isn't there, to Santa Sabina, and there's the imposition of the ashes.
Exactly. That is always in the late afternoon. I was there this week, and it was my first time at a papal Ash Wednesday Mass. And the itinerary is always the same. And so, as he did yesterday, the Pope's always walk from the Benedictine Church of St. Anselm's to the Dominican Church, which is like 1,500 years old, of Santa Sabina. I think St. Anselm's is like 100 years old, so it's a lot more modern. And when the Pope processed, in this procession, they did it to the Litany of Saints, and those of us, of course, in church, there were loudspeakers, so we could obviously hear that. He comes in. They had Mass. During the Mass, the Holy Father receives ashes from Cardinal Tomko, who is the titular cardinal of the Church of Santa Sabina. I think it was the 12th or 13th time that he did it. And then the Holy Father himself gives ashes to the cardinals who are in the church, and then Mass proceeds. And it's a very beautiful, solemn Mass. And what's wonderful is the Church of Santa Sabina is so really devoid of ornamentation. There's two very lovely side chapels, and there's many, I don't know how many pillars.
So it's quite austere.
It's very austere. It's the perfect church to have an Ash Wednesday Mass. And the Holy Father... This Ash Wednesday at the audience and at the Mass, actually, he spoke about prayer. One of the highlights, really, what's supposed to be a highlight of our Lenten season. He spoke about suffering, actually, in the homily at Mass. And the value of suffering being both physical and how we can also suffer for our faith. And then he talked at quite some length, really, about suffering and then went back to his original theme of the value of prayer, and gave a very earlier in the day at the audience, of course, he spoke again, as he would do every year at a Ash Wednesday audience, about the value of Lent, this time of fasting, prayer, penance, and almsgiving. That is something also...
That was the theme of his Lenten message.
His Lenten message, and something he highlighted both Wednesday at the audience and then Wednesday night at the Mass to a lesser degree. But another interesting thing about Wednesday... It came out and related in a way to Holy Week, which, of course, will be at the end of Lent, It was the letter.
This letter that the Osservatore Romano published about the new prayer for Jews, because there had been some complaints raised by some Jewish groups, hadn't there, about the wording of this prayer?
Well, yeah, and it really goes back to July, when Pope Benedict, in the Motu Proprio Summorum Pontificum of July 7th of last year, on the use of the Latin Mass, he basically kind of removed restrictions for celebrating the so-called Tridentine Mass. And we want our listeners to understand this is a Mass used for centuries by Catholics prior to the 1970 reform of the liturgy. However, there was a breakaway group who did not approve of the new liturgical forms of Vatican Council II, and they kept saying, and as a matter of fact, the founder of this late French Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, he actually broke from the church. He was excommunicated for this. There are followers of the Tridentine Rite. There are followers of the Latin Rite Mass who are totally in communion with the church, and they still go to the Latin Mass. But one of their problems was, and now that the use had been amplified of this Latin Mass because of the papal document.
But it's only a prayer, as I understand it, that's used on Good Friday, isn't it?
Well, that's it. But now everybody can say, more people can say the Latin Mass or go to it or request that their priest say it or whatever. And before, you needed the special permission of their bishop. Well, within the Latin Mass, there is only on Good Friday, as you said, a prayer, like a prayer of the faithful, and it's called the Prayer for Jews. The language of the prayer for so many years was really offensive to Jewish people. It could be offensive to a Christian listening to it today. And so when he gave permission for wider use of the Latin Mass, Jewish people were saying, well, okay, but can you change this one particular prayer? And Benedict did issue a new edition of the prayer. I translated it, and you'll see it in papers, translated into English, but obviously the prayer we're talking about is said in Latin. So the Osservatore Romano published the new prayer for the Jews, which does take away a lot of the offensive language. So hoping to maybe bridge a gap or heal a rift, I think that certainly might have been Pope Benedict's intention in redoing this prayer.
Indeed.
If you can gather people back into the fold by healing a wound, then you do all you can.